Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today government's attack on our Constitution, our governmental malfeasance. We're watching the collapse of our constitutional republic in America today. We're watching it just as the top of our news reminded us that in Portland, Oregon, they've been having the riots. They call them peaceful demonstrations, of course, from the political left that's leading those cities. But it's not something that is peaceful. Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the overthrow of America's Constitution and, of course, our Bill of Rights. We're watching the evisceration of what we call the land of the free and the home of the brave. And it all has been swept into existence as a result of COVID-19, where we were lied to and still being lied to. We watched it take place, ladies and gentlemen, under the guise of skin color and racism, as they like to call it. And as a result of being termed Black Lives Matter, then you're not supposed to speak or say anything in relationship to it in a negative sense. But ladies and gentlemen, as a result of the COVID-19, by the way, I don't even like the term, but as a result of COVID-19, we watched our cities vandalized, our businesses, national businesses being closed and destroyed. Several, I believe the last figure that was accounted for the loss in that was something like $23 million, and that was just in one city alone. But we're watching, ladies and gentlemen, the collapse of a law-abiding citizenry in America. We're watching the collapse of our constitutional republic. Here's an article that says, COVID-19 continuing the lies. In my 30 years in the trenches full-time, never have I seen such lying by the vile-based media news, that is the MSM, over their latest mainstream coronavirus. That's the mainstream media and what they're saying about the coronavirus. Let me just touch on this and get back to the article. Right now, all you can hear on the Communist Network News and the fake news in general is that the state of Texas, the state of Florida, are absolutely awash with COVID-19 cases that's killing us all. Now, it is a dangerous virus, but ladies and gentlemen, look at the numbers. We'll talk about that further in this broadcast, how the numbers have been falsified, faked, and as a result of the fake news, it has people pulling their hair out in hysteria and believing that if they stepped out of the door, somehow COVID's going to kill them. This article further says, not just lying or slanting the truth by outright making up, but outright making up what they point to, and as this writer puts it, vomit on the boob tube or written in an article. They are not reporters or journalists. They're paid liars who support the destruction of our constitutional republic. Dangerous, dangerous, useful fools, end quote. Further, the article says, YouTube, Facebook, Google, and others continue to censor scientific and epidemiologists, doctors, and other medical professionals in the field of infectious disease regarding COVID-19. Instead, they continue to tout the thoroughly discredited Dr. Anthony Fauci as if that pipsqueak, this article calls him, were the gods of the science. Because of their lies, right along with the manure coming from the mouths of ignorant, agenda-driven politicians, half this country is now scared to death of the virus. People in communities yelling at individuals for refusing to wear a mask, endangering their health, the dirty looks, and in some cases, actual violence against one another over those that refuse to wear a face mask. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what we're seeing take place today. That's what is happening, but it's being exacerbated as a result of the BLM, the Black Lives Matter, communist Marxist agenda of the overthrow of America. These things are not just happening in some unusual fashion. They are planned, they're contrived, and they are dedicated to the destruction of the constitutional republic called America. Here's an article that says schools prepare to train children in Marxist BLM curriculum. Yes, the article reads, public schools nationwide are adopting Black Lives Matter curriculum. Goes back to my statement earlier that government's malfeasance is not just coming out of the Capitol, not just coming out of the leftist, Marxist, Democrat, BLM party, not just coming out of the silence from the Republican Party, but ladies and gentlemen, it is coming out of the governmental intervention and the malfeasance in our public colleges and universities. Every one of them that's being paid by taxpayers, in my most humble opinion, needs to be shut down completely. Betsy DeVos, the Secretary of Education, needs to start pragmatically simply closing down governmentally controlled schools if they're not willing to teach academics in the classroom. This article goes on to say, public schools nationwide are adopting Black Lives Matter curriculum, presenting themes such as systemic racism, police brutality, and white privilege, while turning children into little Marxists. The New York City Department of Education is one of the many schools systems across America now set to roll out the BLM-themed lesson plans for this fall. Right, according to the article, this summer, North Carolina's largest school system and Wake County launched a website providing BLM lessons for teachers to use in classrooms and for the parents to use at home. Further, the article states, by bringing BLM into the classrooms, activist educators are allowing the most radically divisive movement in America, in American history, to warp the children's minds on the worldview. Further, the article says, Wake County's BLM teachers' resources appears to be a legitimate civic educational resource, but it lays out a cult-like recruiting process for the students to follow. Step one, recognize your white privilege. Step two, learn the do's and the don'ts of being an ally. Step three, recruit more members to learn step one and two as you assist them. Noting BLM co-founder Patrice Cullors is featured on the homepage of the North Carolina Wake County School System's website. The Federalist points out she and other co-founders are self-proclaimed, highly trained Marxists with the goal of destroying President Trump's reelection campaign and destroying the Constitution of the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, if that's not informative as to where we're going and what's taking place, nothing that you could say or write or read could make it any clearer than we're hearing that. Tucker Carlson, in fact, calls out the BLM protesters, and the Minneapolis was our Wuhan. Hysteria now is a pandemic. On Wednesday night, Tucker Carlson delivered one of his most powerful monologues yet as he discussed the hysteria of the moment. Hysteria is the most communicable disease known to man, Carlson said, and we're now living through it, through a pandemic of it. Carlson then showed video footages of statues Christopher Columbus being torn down and vandalized in Denver, Miami, St. Paul, Minnesota. The voiceover noted the activist spray-painted George Floyd, BLM, for Black Lives Matter, and communist symbol painted on the statue in Miami. Ladies and gentlemen, we're living in the last of the last days. Let me remind you two or three things that we must understand. Number one, the Bible says in the last days there would be a great falling away. There would be the apostasy of the church. I believe what we have witnessed with the governmentally forced closings of our churches, the reason it was so easy for the government to say shut the church down and spineless pastors across America, then shut the churches down, hid in the closets, hid under the bed, and have allowed the churches to be shut down. That was easy, in my most humble opinion. Why was it easy? Because we were already on the fast track for total apostasy. Total apostasy. And as a result of that apostasy, I believe that God is judging the church today. Because for the most part, churches had, as we're supposed to be, salt and light. Churches have lost their savor. And the Word of God says, if you've lost the savor, what is the value of the salt except to be cast out, trodden underfoot? And so, ladies and gentlemen, we need to be very, very careful. In fact, I just discovered over the past couple of days and listening to and watching some news that Andy Stanley, the mega church in Atlanta, claims to have 34,000 members that tune in and worship each Sunday. Their church has been shut now for about 2 months, and he says he's not going to open back up until January of 2021. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there's a problem with that picture. How can you honor God and God's word and not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the heathens do? How can you honor the scripture, and not only there, but throughout scripture, of worshiping together and loving the Lord and serving him together? How can you do that and just arbitrarily and capriciously shut the church down and say, we're not going to open until January of 2021? There's a problem with that picture, ladies and gentlemen. And yet we find that taking place across America with pastors and churches that have no qualms about just shutting the doors and saying, we're going to worship online. We're going to provide ministry online, et cetera, et cetera. That's an impossibility to do so and to honor God. But ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the politicians claim that the BLM are only exercising the First Amendment rights to peaceful demonstration. And I am a little weary with that, ladies and gentlemen. As late as this morning on Fox News, they were talking about the citizens have the right to peaceful demonstration. Now, I want you to point out to me any place in the United States of America where you could call it a peaceful demonstration. And yet our governmental officials saying they have that right. And under the Bill of Rights, in our First Amendment, that is a correct right. But we're not seeing that as peaceful demonstrations. And at the same time, they're saying that these BLM Marxists have the right to protest. They're saying that churches do not have the right, and it's in the same amendment, the First Amendment, that the churches do not have the same right to worship. There's something wrong with that picture. It's antithetical to anything that would be called truth of any sort whatsoever. But ladies and gentlemen, the churches are closed today, being persecuted, and even not allowed to sing, even if they are allowed to have 10 to 20 in worship services. They can't sing. State of California, it's illegal for a church to have more than 10 to 20. It's illegal for a church to have a choir to sing or to have singing in general. Even if they're allowed to have services, they can't sing. The open disintegration of our constitutional republic is nothing less than the war on America, our liberties and our freedoms, that's being carried out by the government in the United States of America, by our wannabe dictator mayors and governors. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to look at some of that in more detail in our broadcast where we talk about Romans 13, COVID-19, and biblical truth. Where we ask the question, obey or not to obey? Obey or disobey? We ask the questions or make the statement, Christians and Romans 13, does that mean that we as believers are to simply shut up, sit back, be silent, not be seen, and to obey every whimsical, dictatorial edict handed out by government? I don't believe that our Bible says we need to do that. We're going to look at an in-depth study on Romans 13 and other biblical texts in relationship to governmental authority on our next broadcast. Invite you to tune in for that. Let me remind you also, ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. The telephone number is 831-0917. 831-0917. Love to have you join in this dialogue and discussion. Do you think it's all right? Is it constitutional to allow the demonstrators, the Black Lives Matter, socialist, Marxist thugs to be in the street and to shut the doors of our churches? There's something wrong with that picture. It's open disintegration of our constitutional republic is what we see taking place. So just what have we seen in the past several months? Just what have we witnessed taking place? I've got a litany of points that I want to simply speak and then address very briefly. And I invite you to join in at any one of these junctures as we talk about what we've seen in the past several months. Number one, we've seen a full-scale, open war led by BLM, the socialist Marxists, with a goal of overthrowing the United States of America and our Constitution. We've watched that, ladies and gentlemen. In fact, George Soros has invested several hundred, hear me, George Soros has invested several hundred million dollars into the Black Lives Matter to overthrow America. We've watched, ladies and gentlemen, cities with hundreds of businesses, shops, and stores all burned, pillaged, burned to the ground after being looted and vandalized. And yet Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and the socialist Marxist BLM Democrats do nothing except bow in obeisance and submission and subjugation to Black Lives Matter. Yes, they did. In the Capitol, about Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and about 8 or 10 other socialist Marxist Democrats with a scarf around their neck indicating something about Africa, which was discovered later, ladies and gentlemen, it had nothing to do with the agenda. In fact, some that recognize that color scheme and the symbol and those scarves laughed at them and mocked at them because of what they had done. Ladies and gentlemen, we cannot continue the journey that we're on today and think that somehow, some way, America can survive. It is an impossibility. Ladies and gentlemen, now under the pretense of racism and white supremacy, entire cities are issuing, listen, entire cities are issuing whites only to attend seminar on how to recognize and to reject your own whiteness. Yep, you heard me right. Now our government is in the process of dividing America by race. And for all of these years, we've been told that we need to erase racism. And yet we have today government that's at the in the driver's seat of forcing racism and division based on skin color. Here's an article that says, Seattle to white employees. This is Seattle, ladies and gentlemen, to white employees. Your skin color is a crime. Like this distorted picture of Seattle City Hall, so too was the content of the city's recent meeting for white people only, for white employees only. The city of Seattle recently summoned its white employees, whites only, and essentially told them, quote, your skin color is a crime, according to the report on Tucker Carlson show. In a truly extremist and Orwellian perversion of anti-racism training, the meeting was officially called, quote, interrupting internalized racial superiority and whiteness, end quote. White employees were told that their white qualities were offensive and unacceptable. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, that just is almost beyond the realm of imagination or possibility for a governmental agency, a city authoritative position, to challenge and to condemn whiteness. Now, what if this were to be carried out by white leadership in America in any city, and you say that you're going to have all of your city employees that are black to come in, and you've got to discount your blackness, you've got to put away anything that you would call racial equality, and simply recognize you're the problem because of your skin color. This article says why white employees were told that their white qualities were offensive and unacceptable. Those qualities including perfectionism, objectivity, and individualism. They were further told to drop those qualities and to undertake the work of undoing your own whiteness. Then they give a list of what they taught in the seminar. The employees were further ordered to give up, among other things, number one, your comfort. Number two, give up spending time with your family. Three, give up guaranteed physical safety. Four, give up relationships with other white people. Five, niceties from neighbors and colleagues must be given up. Give up the certainty of your job, end quote. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if that is not Orwellian, nothing could be stated that would be. You would think that that's an impossibility. Here's another article that's on the same subject, but a little different bent. Seattle demands whiteness identity to end its re-education or re-indoctrination camp exclusive to China and other communities and countries. Not anymore. Thunderheaded, big-bottomed leaders in Seattle apparently believe that what is good for the communist country is good for America and are busy at work transferring America's from its stability to a future life under the red flag. Seattle now has mandated courses to be taken for employees to belittle their whiteness. And it goes on to say that the course is mandated by the city government, that people have to participate in that mandate. They would be like telling BLM rogues, to succeed, you need to undo your blackness. If that happened, you can bet news would be totally imploded and news reporters yelling and screaming about the racist white people. Further article on that subject. What exactly is white privilege, anyway? For some reason, in the summer of 2020, every white person in America seems to be the cause of every person of color's misfortunes. Every cop stands guilty of everything anyone wants to charge against him or her. Every white person must assume white guilt, systemic racism, racial prejudice. Every white person must atone for the sins of the past. Black Lives Matter wants to burn down every store, every community, every police department in America. It is in its partner in anarchy. Goes on to say, if they succeed, our country would resemble Sudan, Congo, Somalia's current state of war and chaos, which has been the hallmark of generations. Notice those countries are run by black privilege. Notice they are illiterate, starving, overpopulated, suffer constant conflict and endless hopelessness. And yet that's what they're projecting and positioning America to become, ladies and gentlemen. And also we find, ladies and gentlemen, today that the BLM has defaced, destroyed many of our national heritage historic movement monuments in America. If you can erase the heritage, if you can erase the monuments, if you can destroy history, you can bend and direct and mold future generations that will not have any idea of what America is really about. And because our city, state, and national government officials are still lying to all of us, ladies and gentlemen, we are warned that COVID-19 is still spreading. In fact, Dr. Fauci says it is spreading exponentially in a few of the states that have opened up. But what they're not saying, ladies and gentlemen, is the falsification of the COVID test. The story last couple of weeks was written up of two nurses. They took, I believe it was about 100 of the nose swabs. They dipped them in water, put them in the little sealed containers, send them to the lab to be checked. Every one of them came back as being COVID-19 positive. You hear me? All of them came back as COVID-19 positive. Here's an article that says, Mount Juliet man says even with no test, he's informed he is COVID-19 positive by the state. It's in Mount Juliet, Tennessee. This particular man claims he was never tested despite having a positive diagnosis. Jeremy Finley has the latest details on the article. Ladies and gentlemen, what had taken place, as I understand the depth of the article, he had gone for one of the tests, went to a test site, got tired of waiting in line. They already had his information because he had to set the appointment, already had his information. He did not go through the test, but drove off. 2 weeks later, he got a notice in the mail that his test was positive for COVID-19. There's a problem with that picture. Then another occasion, ladies and gentlemen, that I have an article here that's frightening. 20-year-old COVID victim died in motorcycle crash, according to the doctor. During a week in which coronavirus reporting errors have left little doubt that the number of deaths being attributed to COVID-19 can be disputed, clearly, a man killed in a traffic accident who considered to have officially died from the virus. It is right in Orange County, here in the state of Florida. A man, 20 years old, was in a vehicle accident on his motorcycle. He subsequently died at the hospital. The hospital listed his death as COVID-19. Once they were challenged on that, they went back and said, "Ooh, yeah, oops, we made an error." Some of the tests in the state of Florida, major, 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 may I say again, major doubt as to the validity of most of the tests that's been done, because on those tests that have been challenged, in fact, they had written it up at 98% positive test, 98% COVID-19 test, only to find out that it was 9.8%. And they said, oops, we put the decimal in the wrong place. Said it was 98% positive. These are the fictitious, phony, false, fallacious numbers that are being reported. This is the reason they're saying that, in fact, they're pushing now, a group of physicians here in the state of Florida, pushing Governor DeSantis for him to do a total lockdown in the state of Florida and to recognize, as the physicians put it, that an error was made in letting anybody in the state of Florida open back up. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, if the socialists, Marxists, leftists have their way, we'd shut America down completely and would lock the doors and throw the keys away. It is absolutely a fake, phony, false sense of saying that if we lock everything down, we can have security. But ladies and gentlemen, out of all of that that we see taking place with the Black Lives Matter Marxist movement, with the COVID-19 false, phony, fallacious test being done to put America in hysteria and to keep us there, and the intent of that, ladies and gentlemen, if I can say once again, is to keep everybody in hysteria, to keep America locked down until after the election. You mark my word, you listen carefully. After the November the 3rd election, and after the battle over who really won the election, which in my most humble opinion is going to take days, if not weeks, simply because of the fraudulent approach that's going to be taken for the election. But just a few days after that, say by the end of November, you will not hear anything about COVID-19 as being there that's going to kill us. That simply will be over. It's being used, it's being weaponized, ladies and gentlemen, to absolutely destroy the potentiality of President Donald J. Trump's reelection. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, we need to be very careful with what we believe and the information that we're hearing and how we respond to it. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on this broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. Let me remind you once again, tomorrow we'll be looking at Romans 13, COVID-19, and biblical truth. Ladies and gentlemen, tune in. Tell others to tune in, because we have many, many, many Christians today are wondering what Christians should do. Should we just obey every government edict? Should we obey all the dictator mayors and governors are saying? Or should we be more discerning of what the scripture really says? Thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you once again on the air as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.